Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude, your pop culture and comic book podcast, coming to you from the megacity metropolis of Toronto. I'm your host, Eric Anthony. Thank you for tuning in and downloading this episode. For this particular episode, we are actually not going to be coming to you from the city of Toronto, but instead, you're going to be joining myself and my favorite co-host. I'm biased, of course, because she is my wife, Lady J, Daff J, as many of you know her, who have been listening to this show for quite some time. We took a road trip, so this is going to be like an extended road report type of episode where myself and Daff J are driving in the car to Montreal, Quebec, which is also in Canada, in case you don't know that. I'm sure everybody does. But we took a little road trip. Our kind of mini vacation for the year, because as we know, everything is kind of topsy-turvy, upside down as far as travel is concerned. And in the past, myself and Daff J have traveled to places like Italy, places in the Caribbean, where we've podcasted on location. So for this one, Daff brought the mic with us. She pulled it out while I was driving, and we had a smorgasbord of conversation as far as news and what's happening in the media. We also recorded this episode a few days after the very sad news of Chadwick Boseman passing, so we do talk about that and the legacy of Black Panther and a bunch of trailers that have come out from some movies that we may be anticipating. So like I said, it's a smorgasbord of fun conversation. There's some good laughs in there, a little bit of Daff J hijinks, and it's going to be a two-parter. So one while we're driving there and one while we are there, kind of talking about some of the highlights of our trip and whatnot. So again, thank you for tuning in. Without further ado, you're gonna be tuned in. You're gonna hear a little bit of wind from the car. That's just the microphone picking up the outside driving on the highway. But it's gonna be a fun time. I hope you guys enjoy both parts of this episode. Stay tuned for part two, and we have more episodes coming to you very soon afterward. Once again, take care, everybody, and we will talk soon.
So I pressed it.
Press record?
I did. Yes. Hello. Hello.
Check the time and counting?
Yeah, I know how to see the screen. Okay. I know how to read numbers.
We're on.
Hi, everybody. It's a road trip. This is a road report. Daff J and Eric Anthony.
Did you forget your own name?
I forgot. I thought I was calling myself Daff J. It's Eric Anthony. I'm Eric Anthony. And
this is me.
That's Daff J. There you go.
Yeah, so can you pay attention, though, to the GPS here? See the arrows?
I see the arrows.
We're running out of road.
No, we're not running out of room. We're good. Daff J, what's going on? We're road tripping. First time in a minute. And we're headed to Montreal. How do you say it properly? Montreal.
Who gives a shit? No matter how you say it, these people are going to hate on you anyway, so I'm even going to try. Right. It's Montreal with an accent on it.
All right. Montreal with an accent. Yeah, this is our first trip under the... Oh, no, that's a big accident. This is the first trip under the new normal of COVID-19, no borders open, right? So we're learning to travel within Canada.
Within Canada, yeah. That, you know what? We were talking about this before, so it seems a little redundant. But, like, we don't go anywhere within Canada because it's always so goddamn expensive. And then you had the bright idea, like, hey, we have time off. Why not go to Montreal? And I was like, why?
Yeah, no, it's true. And a lot of people ask whenever we go to the States, right? People are always like, oh, it's so pretty in Canada. Montreal is, like, very European. And, you know, you go out west and the mountains are so beautiful. Like, you guys must love it. I'm like, I don't live anywhere near that. So where we're from, it's so kind of Americanized, I guess, in the sense that it's just a major city, kind of feels like any city in the States. So to be able to go other places is something we should probably consider doing more now.
And I think that's why I was dismissive about it, because I'm like, well, it's a city, I'm already in a city. It's in Canada, I'm already in Canada, so what the hell's the point? But like you said, there was all these other things to that, you know, cuisines and culture and all that. So I was like, okay, let's entertain the idea. And so here we are. We're on our way.
What are you looking forward to most?
It's all food related.
I think that's the only reason we're going, just to eat. This is a food trip, is all it is. I don't know. We have been to Montreal once. We were
together
with other people. We were invited onto a trip. It was colder then, and I hated it.
You hated the cold or the trip?
The cold.
No, it was a fun trip.
No, it was a fun trip. I just, and you know what? Everybody who knows me has always said, oh, Montreal is this, Montreal the third, but then they're like, but don't go in the winter because it's terrible. And I don't think we were in the dead of winter, but it was somewhat there. I remember.
Yeah, it was good. We were wearing coats and scarves and making sure we were bundled up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, right, I mean.
And, like, whatever we did that time, like, I think we went to a market. Yeah. That was a rushed experience because, like, okay, there's only so much of this we can tolerate because it was so cold. But now, going during this season, I keep forgetting that, oh, it's going to be pleasant. We're going to actually be able to walk and see the water and you know, be outside. And especially due to COVID, having changed a lot of businesses' approach in the restaurant industry, that's now an option to be outside comfortably, which is, I always have to reset my thinking in, oh, that's what we're going to do. We're not confined to just being outside and cold and inconvenient. We're going there with purpose.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I mean, the thing that sparked my interest in going was that Somebody Feed Phil show on Netflix, where the restaurants and the cuisine that you can find in Montreal is pretty great. So I figured, since we can't make a trip down to New York or Chicago or those places in the States we would normally maybe go to, we haven't been to Chicago, New York normally, but
yeah, but it's always easier. It's always easier and cheaper to go to the States.
Yeah.
I mean, even what's a bitch is the paying for the accommodations, like hotels and stuff. That takes a hit to your pocket a little bit. But in regards to like things to do, places to eat,
you know our way around now too when we go to New York. But Montreal's a new adventure on our own. Last time we were kind of guided and, you know, recommended places to go to, which is always helpful when you don't really know where to go. But this time we're got a couple spots we're going to hit up. I got to go to Schwartz's.
Yeah.
The Schwartz is strong with this one. one of the famous deli sandwich places. You found a Haitian restaurant that...
Yeah, I want to go to this Haitian restaurant. It's called Agricole with a K. I saw it on the feed Phil. And the chef, he just seems so pleasant. And I'm excited to try their stuff. And they got some spicy stuff. So I'm good with that.
So maybe on the way back home, we'll give a review of our favorite places that we went to. Like what our favorite meals were. Which ones, you will rate them. Sound good? That would be like our top five restaurants on our Montreal trip.
I mean, we could try, but I don't know. I'm gonna end up confusing all of them. I'm gonna forget.
Well, you gotta write it down then. You got a nice new phone there. You can make a couple notes.
That's what I forgot. I was gonna bring my travel book.
Oh, yeah. You always bring a travel book with you.
I had it in my mind. I'm like, don't forget that. Don't forget. I was staring at it when I was sitting on the chair yesterday, and I'm like, you need to grab that. And I'm like, no, it's right in front of everything we're taking, so it's gonna be good. And I forgot.
That's okay. It's okay. You'll write it when you get back. It's fine.
Yeah, but the thing about it is writing it in the moment, experiencing it. I like when we go to the beach.
Yeah.
And I write down like how the sun is feeling on my skin in that moment, or the sound of the ocean. I'm actually like dictating the emotion I'm feeling, like the heat and like where it's emitting, and like there's a child in the background or one of the resort staff are walking along the beach with exotic animals, and then I'm there questioning them, excuse me, why do they know how to do that? Are you abusing them? And what, you know what I mean? And he was able to tell me that there's a difference in training. And see, if I had my book, I would be able to finish this thought.
We'll just podcast it. We'll keep the mic with us. And when we're having a good moment, we'll turn the mic on 5 minutes and record the moment.
But what did he say? He said domestic training versus like
show training, something like that.
But I wrote it down specifically, and I thought like that's it, because he's like, we don't force them to do anything they don't want to do.
Right.
We don't torture them to do this stuff. They enjoy it. And when they don't want to do it anymore, they just don't do it. And we let them be.
Right, right. Was that in Mexico where they were telling us that? I forget now. Or was it Jamaica?
I think it was in Mexico because the guy was in Spanish and I was like going in hard. I was like, what do you do? Why is he flipping like that? And why is he okay? Why is he okay with it?
You're ready to start a protest on the beach in your Calvin Klein bathing suit.
Well, and that's the other, like, I find circuses and stuff like that freaky just cause, but I also don't like that what animals they have on site, the things that they do, what they must have done for them to do that. So I don't support any type of marine land, aquatic park type thing. I don't like it personally. I'm not judging anyone that does, but I just don't.
We used to.
I mean, as a kid and a younger person, go
to Busch Gardens and stuff like that. But
yeah, but Busch Gardens, let me say something. And people are going to be like, oh, hypocrite. I find that at Busch Gardens, though, it wasn't animals doing tricks. They were animals. I mean, I'm not a fan of zoos either, but they had, like, in a zoo, I find they were, like, very tightly contained. Here, they had, like, a full, it was like a safari. It was the closest that I could get to experiencing wildlife without feeling like, oh, this animal is chained or confined to this small little space. Like, why is a polar bear just swimming from here to there? They should have a good amount of space to actually live. You know what I mean? And I found that Busch Gardens, maybe I'm wrong, someone can say something, but I found like the giraffes were all the way over there. Like, you had to go in if you want. And they weren't trained to do nothing special.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't think the mic can reach you. Are you agreeing with me or are you hating me?
No, I hear what you're saying because I've seen it myself. But again, I don't know enough about their practices there to really be like, well, they're different. I mean, I'm just saying that I've gone and I've enjoyed it and I've observed the animals that I guess you can say are in a confined space. But that was the first place, actually, Busch Gardens was the first place that I saw the Labrador retriever that was best friends with a cheetah.
But they were raised together.
That's what I mean. Like, it was different in that regard because they were just free.
Yeah, they were running around. They had the freedom to be or not be. And then the other thing, too, remember we went to Mexico on our honeymoon and we went to that Ixcaret Park where we had lunch, but, like, in the middle of, I guess, the restaurant, but not really. There was, like, this lone type of cliff.
Yeah, it was so cool.
Mountainous thing. And there was, like, a leopard and a cheetah. And I don't know what other cat was there.
Yeah, it looked like a panther.
But they weren't intermingling with the peoples because they were, like, on a separate island type of thing. But
it wasn't even fenced in.
It was just
their own.
Exactly. The only thing that kept them from leaping over, it was There was a cliff, but there was also a beautiful waterfall. Like, they were still surrounded by what they should be surrounded by. Not cages and fences and glass windows with birds on them to keep them from, to know that there's a barrier. You know what I mean? So for me, I don't know if it's a mental thing. It's definitely an emotional thing. But I don't particularly support those types of venues. What are they called?
You remember? Zoos.
Well, yeah, zoo. I know the word zoo. Shit. I'm talking about those independent type things, like those independent people that get exotic animals, and then pay $20 to come and see the lion. And the ostrich. What do you have an ostrich for in the middle of Port Hope? By the way, that's a place in Ontario. We passed the sign.
Yes, we did pass the sign.
It's a real place.
You make it seem like, I mean, I know we're driving into another province, but you're making it seem like we're jumping continents and discovering this undiscovered land. Port Hope is a real place.
Well, I didn't know about it. Listen.
There should be the sign when you walk in, when you drive into the town. Port Hope, it is a real place.
No, well, for someone who doesn't like, well, let's circle back to the beginning. I don't really go outside of Ontario or Like, I don't.
Not enough. Definitely not enough. You're right.
No. And that's my own ignorance and my own lack of interest and effort.
And Canadian pride, perhaps? Or no?
Or lack thereof.
That's what I mean, lack thereof. Yeah. This, okay, jumping to a completely other topic, if that's okay. While we record this, it is 2 days after the sad news of Chadwick Boseman, right?
Oh, do we have to do that now?
Yeah, I do. I want to talk about this.
No, it's going to make me sad. I don't want to right now.
No, I don't want to make you sad.
It's sad. Okay. It's not going to make me happy.
Okay, what I was going to say on a lighter note, and this is in no way to be disrespectful at all, but I really want them to continue the Black Panther franchise in honor of Chadwick Boseman because he was so important.
You're in hopes that they do that.
Yeah, I'm in hopes that they do that. In respect to him and in respect to all of the fans of his and the Black Panther franchise and the comic book history. And did you know that he passed away on the same, I think it was
Jackie Robinson Day,
Jack Kirby's birthday. The guy who created the Black Panther is the day that Chadwick Boseman passed away himself, which is like very strange connective tissue of all of those three things that he really brought to life and made a whole new generation appreciate the cultural significance of both the Black Panther and Jackie Robinson. To know that he and like his life ended on those and that significant day is pretty incredible. So what I was gonna say was, who would you think is suited? You don't want to answer that question?
I don't want to talk about it. Rest in power, Chadwick Boseman.
Can I give a suggestion? Would you mind if I did? I've had one on my mind as soon as it came to me.
That's okay.
Okay, fine. I won't say nothing until a couple months from now. Fine. I will be respectful. I apologize for being disrespectful.
No one said you're being disrespectful. I just think there needs to be some time to just settle before you start talking about the possibilities of someone taking up the mantle.
Fine. You're right. Okay. All right. I concede. If anybody wants to know who my person is, you can DM me. We'll talk about it in private.
I mean, no, it's not to say that you shouldn't have an opinion. But I think, like, we're such in a... I don't want to concede or conform to this very sensitive culture, but I also don't want to be ignorant to how fresh this is to the family, to the culture, to the film industry. Like, you're already trying to pass on the mantle. Like, I just let it sit for a minute.
Yeah, I know. I get it. But this is what I was thinking in my head, right? Is that none of us knew that this poor young man was working so hard and doing such important work in his craft and all the while was having a real fight for his life. Like, it's not even hyperbole to say that. And there were times too where I'm like, you know, this guy is really committed to some of the roles he's doing because he's putting on and losing weight and I remember him being T'Challa, and he's a very muscular, strong-looking superhero guy, but his weight was fluctuating, and I even think some people insensitively were making comments or memes about it, and lo and behold, he had a real fight on his hands.
Well, and this is why I say respectfully to you that maybe it's wise to reserve comments so early on, because I think, to your point, the same people that made those comments and making fun or judging his extreme weight loss, rather than seeing, oh, maybe he's in between roles or whatever, they felt the need to comment on something without knowing everything.
Right.
And I think that is what society is today. We're also finger trigger ready to talk about what we think, how we feel about someone else's situation without knowing everything first.
Yeah.
So before we get into who's gonna do what, when, where, and who should, you know what I mean? Like, let's just take a seat back, let it sit, you know, and then with the more information as it comes in, then there will be a time and place to discuss the possibilities of this thing moving forward. Like, he did so many projects whilst being ill, Who knows if maybe they already started a Black Panther project? I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming.
That's why I say that, because the seeing that he wasn't well, and more than likely the people who were going to make the next Black Panther movie, because he is such a quintessential part of it, like he is the Black Panther, it has been announced, right? Knowing that very likely he may not be able to film it, whether he pulls through with what he was fighting, or even if he does, would he be strong enough to play that role? It's very 2022, I think, is when the movie is slated to come out, or it's been announced to. So maybe, I mean, I'm not going to mention who I think can take over the mantle of the Black Panther, but maybe it could be his sister, Shuri, from the movie. I don't know the actress's name. Maybe, because in the comics, she becomes the Black Panther for a little bit herself. So maybe they're going to go that way.
Yeah.
I'll tell you off mic. I really want to tell you. Okay, I can't help it. I think John David Washington should be it. I think that would be amazing if he became the Black Panther. I'd love it.
I'm sitting here with my mouth. Okay, hold on. Let me finish that sentence. I'm taking it in. So that silence is me just taking it in.
Okay. I would love to see him respectfully take over that role and be T'Challa. I think it would be awesome. And it would be like, I don't know, just so cool. And I think it would even separate him from just being Denzel Washington's son.
Oh, no. I think he's already done that.
That's what I mean. Like,
no, but like rightfully so. Like, he's done role. I know it's Denzel's son, but I don't see Denzel's son. Like, I hear him more than see. Like, his craft is his own.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he needs this to take to step away from his father's shadow. I think he's done enough of, like, his performances have their own spotlight.
Yeah, I could just see it. I feel like it would be somewhat seamless in a way. He would obviously not look the same, but I think it would be really cool to see that. That's just my hope, that maybe they consider going that route. That would be really cool.
Wakanda forever.
Wakanda, yes, Wakanda forever. And, you know, watch the Black Panther one more time. Appreciate the movie. And read some of the comic books, because there's some really great Black Panther comic books to read. I would highly recommend the Christopher Priest run of Black Panther. If Black Panther is on your mind, that's a great run of books to read. Speaking of mantles and being passed on, last week you woke me up to a bunch of trailers to watch, and I was not expecting any of those trailers, and it was the Batman to start with. And there's been so many people who have played Batman now in the last couple years, it almost feels like the Spider-Man franchise in a way, where it keeps shifting the person under the mask. But now it's, you know, the everyone refers to him as the Twilight guy, right? Robert Pattinson, the guy from Twilight, he's gonna be Bruce Wayne.
He's also in Tenet with Washington.
Yeah, exactly. And he's a very respectable actor. Like, people who know his work beyond Twilight talk about how good he actually is, and that they're really excited to see him pull this off.
What else have you seen him in? I haven't seen him in anything else. And I haven't even seen the Twilight Saga stuff. All I know is he looked pale as anything. And he's a vampire in that movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in anything else other than that.
Yeah, I probably have, but it's not coming to mind of something like, oh, I loved him in that role. What did you think of the trailer? Like, did it...
Okay, this is why I said, Eric, do you want to do a podcast a week ago?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, because I don't remember the goddamn trailer right now, man. We're in Montreal. We're in Cornwall. Wherever the hell we are right now. There's an en route gas station. Now you want to ask me about the trailer? I don't know.
Let it simmer. Sometimes it's...
Okay. Let's recap what we think I remember. Okay. I think I remember in the very beginning, someone's taping up a UPS package.
Yeah.
Just tape or something.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I remember as well.
Who's playing Commissioner Gordon? It's the guy from... hold on. Don't tell me the name. It's the guy... It's the smart guy from Hunger Games. The black guy, right?
Yes. It definitely is that guy. I think his name is Jeffrey Wright. He was also in the James Bond movies. Like, he played Felix.
Yes.
Forget the last name of that character. But he's... I like that actor.
Forgive us, but we know who you are.
Yeah, and he played Peebles in Shaft. That was his name in Shaft. He was the villain, Peoples.
Okay, you're very proud of yourself.
So here's a really cool connection. Look at this. In Shaft, Christian Bale, who was Batman, was the villain, and he teamed up with Peoples in that, who is now Commissioner Gordon, and they were both stopped by Samuel L. Jackson, who's Nick Fury. I love doing that comic book connection of people.
How is that connected? Nolan?
No, it was...
This Batman is not in Nolan's universe.
Christian Bale. Christian Bale was teamed up with a guy who is now Commissioner Gordon. It's very random that I did that. But it was like Batman... A guy who played Batman was in a movie with a guy who's now Commissioner Gordon. And they were both stopped by a guy who played Nick Fury. It's like when you watch Nanny Diaries and you see Captain America and Black Widow. And you're like, that's really Captain America and Black Widow. You're not the nanny and Harvard hottie. Like, that's not who you...
The fact that you remember his name is Harvard hottie, I love it. That's a gem.
Or when I'm watching Captain America, I'm like, you're not Captain America and Black Widow. You're Harvard hottie and Annie. Like, who are you fooling here? It's just a cosplay date. Yeah, I like seeing all when I watch a movie and it's like, man, that's this superhero and that superhero and like multiverses and universes collide.
Yeah, and it was heavy. I think I remember posting the Winter Soldier poster and then hashtagging Nanny Diaries Part 2.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they were heavy on those two characters.
Yeah, it was really about the two of them. So anyways, getting back to Batman. I had no hopes, no expectations for what this movie was going to be or what it should be. Like, I just had no feeling for it. And then when I saw the trailer looks really good, like, as far as the tone and the feel of the world of Batman. Like, it feels the way it should.
Hey, before you go on,
yeah.
Exit 3, whatever that means. Is it coming up? There's an arrow merging you.
Okay, thank you.
Just pay attention.
It's 131 kilometers away. We're good.
What have I told you? I don't know dimensions. I don't know distance. I don't know measurements. What metrics? I don't get it. I just know the arrow's merging to the right. We got to go right.
I love that we caught that on a recording, though. The fact that you're like, exit 3 coming up in 130 kilometers. Yeah.
I'm a co-pilot. I'm just making sure you're paying attention because we're going to possibly have a conversation.
We'll miss our exit. Yeah. For sure. I appreciate that. Thank you. Continue to tell me what you felt about the.
I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel anything. I what I will do is just kind of go down what I think I remember because I don't. So I remember the packing of tape. Huh. I remember seeing Commissioner Gordon. I remember. What do I remember?
I remember envelopes. Green.
Yeah. Oh, I remember a question mark, so I assume the Riddler is the villain.
Yep.
Who's playing Alfred? Did they even show that?
That I didn't register who was Alfred. I maybe missed it. Apparently the Penguin was in the trailer. I didn't feel like I saw him. The Penguin's being played by Colin Farrell, of all people.
And for anyone who's thinking, why don't you just Google and see it on YouTube right now? I'm on Freedom Mobile. It doesn't reach out to Cornwall. I have no signal.
I like that you keep saying Cornwall. I think we passed it, but you just like saying you're in Cornwall.
It's the only side. Port Hope in Cornwall. All I know is it's over here, and it's not over there.
We were in Port Hope. You saw a body of water on the side of the road or the side of the highway, and you're like, oh, what is that? I'm like, I think that's a lake. It's probably Lake Ontario. It reaches all the way to Montreal. I'm like, we're not in Montreal. We're in Ontario. Yeah. Now we're in Cornwall until we get to Montreal.
Anything outside of Toronto is far from me. Yes. So forgive me for not being on point with that. But anyway, what else do I think I remember? I think I remember, for some reason, unless I dreamt it, did this version of Batman have some kind of gun type of weapon? And I was like, that doesn't seem right. Am I making it up?
I don't think you're making it up. I think there was a scene with him having something like that. I remember there was...
It could almost look like a rifle.
Kind of, yeah. They from what I heard or what I read after the fact is that this is going to be a year two version of Batman. So if, let's say, Batman Begins was his year one, this would be his second year as, you know, on the streets of Gotham. Kind of like, I guess, the Long Halloween is that next chapter in Batman's career. It's before there's a Robin, but he's getting into the thick of things as Batman. It's early in his career, but it's not first day on the job sort of thing. That's where this story is taking place in his timeline.
Do you think this is... You know how you said Batman Begins is like a year one?
Yes.
Do you think, without knowing anything, because honestly now I cannot remember the trailer, do you think this is a hush? I mean, I didn't see no Tommy or anything, but the fact that the Riddler is behind it, do you think, and you said that perhaps you heard that the Penguin had something to do with it. Like, for there to be multiple villains, do you think there's... Do you wonder if they've taken this story and adapted it from a graphic novel?
I wonder, to answer your question, yes, I wonder if they have. But I think the plan for this movie, when they first announced it, was that it wanted to focus more on him being an actual detective as opposed to just being Batman. And all the movies, there's moments that show like some detective skills, but this one's gonna really focus on him being the detective.
And I like that. I like the sounds of that.
Yeah, I think that's what this movie's really trying to focus on. So that will be interesting. I think the fight scene that they showed in the trailer was pretty cool. I don't know
what fight scene.
There was a fight scene where you see him as Batman and he takes down like a bunch of guys, and that's where maybe he had the gun in his hand, but it might have been more of like one of his bat weapons as opposed to an actual rifle.
Yeah, I highly doubt it was a gun type thing, but that is what I saw, and I was like, what's happening there? Why are they changing it? What are they doing? Because they have the tendency of turning something on its head and trying to call it new and innovative, and it's like, no, you're changing the character's principles and morals, and now with that one act, they're no longer what we know him to stand for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I agree. I think there's a lot of things that you can have wiggle room with when you're telling a story, a fictional story about a fictional character who has so many versions written about them.
Have you ever come across a version where Batman kills someone and is okay with it?
In the very beginning, Batman killed. He killed his villains. He actually shot a gun, and he would throw people off of buildings.
When you say the very beginning, are we talking Bible times or, like, what do you mean? Like in the early 50s? Like, what are we talking? Or 60s or?
It was like in 1939, 40, like that very first version of like Bob Kane Batman. He killed, and they changed that rather quickly. In the first couple of issues or years. I don't know for sure, but it was something in the beginning that he did kill, but it's not what he's known for now. So I think the essence of the character, it's important to make sure you follow those things that make them... It's like, Superman, you don't have to make a story of Superman with kryptonite, but you have to also acknowledge the fact that there is a radiation that makes him weak, that is kryptonite. That's part of just the character's mythology, that there are their weaknesses. These are their Achilles heels. These are their rules that they function with. And to suddenly be like, well, no, our version is just not going to, we don't care.
This lane is ending.
Okay, thank you. I think that was one thing in the Michael Keaton Batman, right? Is that he killed people.
Did he really, though?
Well, I don't think he was kind of with reckless abandon, just destroyed that chemical plant where Joker's guys were there. Like, he just made it explode. And then when he was fighting in the bell tower, remember where he's fighting that one villain who's actually giving him a run for his money? Really strong thug. And then he knocks him into the belfry. And then he's hiding, and then he comes back up, grabs the guy by the neck, hits his head on the bell, and then throws him down. Like, he killed the guy.
Well, we don't know if he fell all the way down.
You see him falling, like, a good chunk of floor. Like, he wouldn't have lived, that's for sure. Yeah, we're well, downtown Cornwall, Daphne.
See? I said it. I said we were in Cornwall.
Here we are.
Cornwall, Centerville. Oh, maybe that's in French, Eric. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, we know that Batman always has a contingency plan. Maybe he had a little backup cushion at the bot. You never know.
Well, he allowed the Joker to die, right? In the very next scene, he wrapped him around the gargoyle and put the bat rope on his pant leg, and it made him fall to the ground. Like, he had no concern about saving the Joker and bringing him to justice, right? He even told him, "I'm gonna kill you. You killed my parents." You remember?
I mean.
We're more sensitive in this day and age of making, like, that's not what my character does. Like, our expectations of what they should be are so much higher.
I know I'm enamored with what I believe Batman to be and what he stands for. Like, don't deviate from that. Don't change my hero. I'm attached to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I think society is very sensitive to, like,
I think
don't change it.
Especially because now there's always...
Or, actually, then you have the other extreme where everybody wants to change everything.
Yeah.
And start from scratch and make sure there's representation. And there's all there's that scope also.
Yeah, and I feel like that's all... I feel like what they need to do is prop up the characters and versions of characters that are created or create new ones that will... accomplish that goal.
I agree. I don't think we need to touch what we know, because then that's my childhood. That's my memory. That's my experience. I think representation and diversity is important, but let's come up with a new superhero. Let's come up with a new person that represents this and stands for these stuff. Like, why do you have to take my guy or my chick and everything that they represented is now in reverse.
Yeah, I hear you. One thing I've made peace with is that because people, when you do say that, it opens up a whole other can of worms, and I feel like, you know what? No one's gonna take, especially for us, right? Our childhood. If they changed Batman, let's say, and made him a Hispanic billionaire, for instance, in order for representation's sake, I'm just throwing something out there. It's not going to ruin our childhood, because we've got those things from our childhood to always go back to. No one can take that away from us. No one's going to take Batman the Animated Series away from me, Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
This lane is ending.
Or the Christopher Nolan films, which we watched the Dark Knight Rises yesterday just in the background while you were doing chores around the house. Why was Christian Bale such a mouth breather as Batman? I didn't notice it till yesterday.
Yeah, and I was not happy with that. But to your point, no, I'm not trying to say that my childhood will forever be wrecked. And I just think that there's certain things that are good the way they are. Like, they're trying to remake, for instance, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. No.
Yeah.
It's a classic. It's good the way it is. But you want to tell a story about people and the merging of cultures or status or any, let's do something different. Let's create. There's a lot of things that are just coming back where it was good the way it was. Why are we circling back and changing what we know it to be?
Yeah,
that's what I mean by my childhood. Not, you know, I'm not trying to sound dramatic about it. It's more so just let it lie, let it be. And let's get creative and dip into stuff that we haven't done before.
Yeah, I agree. I think it should be, we should create new things that are somewhat, I mean, all of the stuff that was created decades ago, and as they change through the decades, especially with fictional characters like comic book characters or superheroes.
Well, especially because they have that leeway of, like, what's it called? I just had it in my head. multiverse. Yeah. You have the opportunity to change and have a version, but change it up a bit. And then if that's the one you want to look to, continue. That's what you're going to, get, what is it? The run. You're going to follow that run, right?
Yeah. So I think when it comes to multimedia, it's, in my opinion, always a good, I want the most, I don't want to say generic because that sounds bland, but I want the one that everybody can connect to. And if you see a version, the most authentic, capturing the essence of that character, the way, let's say, Daredevil television show did, right? There's something about it that really captures the essence of Daredevil's mythology. Even with things that are different and things that have changed that aren't exactly like the book, which is fine because sometimes they make it better. You know, they adjust things to make the story work. But the essence is there, so that if you do want to now follow Daredevil and find a different version, you also have that essence of it already captured in your mind, and then you can build from there. When you do something too drastically different on multimedia, whether it be maybe like a video game or a television show, then the connection to the source material that you want people to become connected to, because it makes it, I feel, live on, right? Like, if someone really likes a comic book movie, my hope would always be, like, I hope they get into comic books because of it. Like, that, you want that synergy to happen. It's always cool to see that cultural thing occur. But,
can I just say something?
Yeah, of course.
I may have to re-listen to what you said because I got a little distracted by the fact that...
Too long.
No, you weren't talking too long. I got distracted because I see you have one box left of gas.
Oh, yeah. We'll be okay.
What is that? A quarter tank?
That's a quarter tank.
Yeah, so we need to... But at the en route, we need to stop there.
Okay, we will. Next en route, we'll stop. Yeah, so I like the multimedia movie version or TV version, something that becomes... it's a good linchpin for all of... like. To everyone connect to. Do you know what, does that make sense? Like, I want Superman to be from Krypton. I want him to land in Kansas and to go to Metropolis. Like, I want that story. I don't want him to have like the most drastic Elseworlds version of Superman on the big screen.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I led with.
Yeah, exactly. We're on the same page again.
Yeah.
So I don't
back know, to the trailer.
Yeah. That's fun, right? We're doing these tangents that take us other places.
No, but I'm saying, like, okay, I'm never going to remember what I saw. What do you think?
I was optimistic. I'm not extremely excited because I feel like I've seen this tone and version of Batman before with the Nolanverse.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I feel like when I heard of this Rob Patterson or Pattison?
Pattison.
When I heard that he was going to do it, I was mad.
You're always mad at the next Batman. Always.
No, I liked the Christian Bale.
Yeah, he...
I looked forward to it.
Yeah. But when I watch Christian Bale, though, I'm like, his Batman is stupid. Like, why is he talking like that?
His third Batman is stupid.
Especially the third one.
Okay, can I just finish what I was saying? Yeah, so when I first heard of the Pattinson taking on this role, I was like, nope, damn it to hell, this thing is done. And I will skip to the very end where I saw the trailer. Momentarily, he said or did or looked a certain way. I think it was the look in the suit where I was like, huh.
I could have been wrong.
Maybe there's something to this, but very momentary. Very momentary. Because then I'm thinking to myself, well, am I giving him a pass because then just anybody can put on this suit and they can pass? Or is he going to get a pass because he's actually going to be good?
Right.
So it was a very momentary, it was a moment of acceptance, but I'm still not sure where I stand with it.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about him as Bruce Wayne. That part of it, I'm not sure, but we'll have to wait and see. I mean, I wasn't sure about Heath Ledger being the Joker. It seemed kind of strange to me when I heard that one, and that it was a redefining role, so
right.
We'll see.
What was the other trailer you saw?
Wonder Woman 84. I like the look of it. I like the brightness of that movie. I like that it takes place in the 80s. I think Gal Gadot she's really grown on me as Wonder Woman. I really like her in that role. the cheetah's cool. It's cool that she's going to be in the movie. I don't really, again, I'm excited to watch it. I like the first Wonder Woman movie. It's the one part of the DC extended universe thing that I
that made the most sense?
Yeah. That's the one that I probably like the most, and it made me appreciate that character in a new way. Like, I like Wonder Woman as a character overall, and I think that movie put it in a good light. So I'm excited for it.
I saw the first trailer whenever that came out.
Yeah?
I don't know how long ago.
Well, it would have been in the fall, I would imagine, because that movie was supposed to be out right now.
So when I saw that trailer, I was like, okay.
So you're down for it? You're
not when I saw the second trailer.
Not when you saw the second trailer?
No, not at all.
How come?
It took me right out of it.
What was it that took you out? Forced humor? What was it that you weren't feeling?
Something happened. Someone looked a certain way. The more cheetah-like that the... What's her name again?
Kristen Wiig.
The more cheetah-like she looked, it just took me out. I was like, what's happening here? Is this like when Bane drinks the whole bottle?
Okay, sorry, excuse me, I yawned. So it was too CGI, too computerized for you.
Something, and then like, why are you... Okay, that scene though of her using her lasso, using the thunderbolts to...
That was cool.
That was cool, but then I'm like, wait a minute, Trick, you can fly!
You know, I've read quite a bit of Wonder Woman, and I still don't have a great handle on what it is that she can do and can't do and why she can and can't do them sometimes, because everyone knows the invisible plane. And I'm like, yeah, but she could fly, but where does she get that power from? Can't she actually fly? What's the point of the invisible plane? Because that is a thing. Like, it always does this to me, and I forget about it.
I mean, unless she has a crew, but even then, half of the dudes that she hangs out with can fly. You got Hawkman. Is it Hawkman? You got Superman. You got Green Lantern. I mean, the core Justice League, they can, you know, do a couple of things. And it's not like Batman doesn't have his own ride.
Right.
So what's going on there? The invisible... I don't know. I'm a little bit on the fence with what she is capable of doing. Although I think she's cool, but I'm kind of like, what are you doing in this movie?
Yeah, the lightning bolt thing was awesome, though. That was really neat. I'm like, hey, however you got to get around, you're a badass.
It was cool, but I had a couple of questions.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's so strange, right? Because you see all of these trailers that get you excited for movies, and then I don't have that same desire about going to movies the way I once did. So it's so weird.
I'm all right. I actually like it better now. This lane's going to end. Nope, the other one's going to end, so you're fine. No, I like the idea of how we can do the option of being able to. I've been saying it. Didn't I say to you, hey man, people have their own entertainment system in their house. Why can't I just stream this thing directly to my couch? And now there's that option rather than going in and having to give the guy the look because, you know, he's talking up a storm when he shouldn't be, or this person decides to turn on their phone and, you know, now their glare is in my peripheral view, disturbing my movie experience. Like, I don't have to worry about people no more. I can just, you know, I can just go to the bathroom. I can pause it. I don't miss anything.
That part of it is good.
It's being able convenient.
I do think
just like going to church right now. It's hella great. Just being able to do it from your couch. It's so good.
All the people that can Zoom.
Yeah.
I mean,
I get that social da-da-da is important. I'm not, you know, for a person that doesn't mind being on her own or with a limited amount of people, this has been a relief in some sort. I mean, I'm not trying to be insensitive to the situation. I understand this has been a dreadful thing for people, for the economy, but I am trying to, for myself, the self-growth that I've tried to go experience throughout this. Like, I can either look at this half glass full or empty, and I'm choosing to be positive about it. So what about this can I look forward to? Well, rather than burning fumes and paying all this money to see, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I can just do it from my house peacefully with the people I want to have around, rather than having to contend with that jerk that doesn't want to sit with me. You know what I mean? Why should people have to deal with me? Is what I'm saying.
So when let's say you get really hyped for and you get really good reviews for the Batman from Matt Reeves starring Pattinson, will you pay $20 to watch it at home as though you were going to the theater, or will you wait until you can own it?
I think I'm gonna wait till I can watch it for free. Let me clarify that. I again am still on the fence about what this story, what this universe, what this Batman is like. I'm not excited the way I was like. Okay, remember when Batman Begins at the very end and Commissioner Gordon gives Batman evidence and he turns it around and you see it's a Joker card?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was praying that the end of the world would not come because I needed to see that movie.
And you saw that movie.
But do you know what I mean? Yes. Like, that was like, okay, the zombie apocalypse, whatever, panda, everything that needs to happen, just not yet. Not before the movie release. I gotta know. You know what? Everything had to be on pause. Like,
yeah, you held your breath for a good 3 to 4 years there. You really did.
And I was, when I saw that for the first time, I'm like, no. Like, and I remember looking at you in the theater and being so excited and also fearing that I'd get hit by a car and miss out. Because like, you know me and my track record with traffic. Like, I'm always on the verge of getting run over.
You haven't.
No, thank God. Knock,
for you to watch.
Knock on wood. I haven't, like, gotten.
It's but, wood grain.
It's plastic wood grain.
No, but, like, the chance. Ooh, what's happening here? Anarchy?
Sons of Anarchy.
I was like really dying to see it. Like nothing, like I needed all the good juju possible to make this happen. I had to see this movie. This one, not so much. Batman related, of course. Favorite superhero. I'm not really counting the days for this thing to happen. So can I patiently wait for it? And for me, as of right now, yes, I can.
All right. I mean, there was going to be a lot of really cool movies this year that have just gone by, like, mentally by my wayside. Where it's like...
Were you looking forward to Maverick?
Yeah, I was looking forward to Maverick, Tenet, Black Widow.
Tenet is in theaters right now.
It is now. But again, there's that sort of like, do I want to go to the theater? And I want to go to the theater.
Do I have to go to the theater?
Do I have to go? Do I want to... It's one of those weird things where... You're more than willing to pay the $12 to $14 to go to the theater to watch it with a
group. But are you willing to pay for the inconvenience?
And then there's that too, right? In the past, absolutely. I used to love going to the movies, looking forward to that next movie coming out on a Friday and planning it and spending the $50 to have my popcorn with you in the theater. Whereas now I could spend $20 for the both of us. And now I'm like, bye. Why do I gotta spend $20? It's on my TV at home. I'm not watching it. Like, it's this really weird, sudden, I don't know, juxtaposition is the word.
Inner conflict.
Yeah, where it's like, why won't I pay the $20 to watch it? It's $10 for two people. We could watch it more than once because I'll have it for 24 hours. Whereas before, I was paying $17 or so to watch it in IMAX, and if I close my eyes for a second, I missed a key part. It's just this weird shift.
That closing your eyes is all on you, bud. You can't throw that out.
But now, if I let's say I rent it to watch at home, like it's a movie release at the theater, I can pause it and go to the bathroom, like you said, right? So why wouldn't I do that? Because there's this idea in our head where if I'm watching it at home, it should be on my Netflix or I should own it. Where if I pay $20 to watch it, that just seems silly to watch it at home for $20. I should be going out in my car and spending $30 to watch it.
Well, because the idea is it's a movie experience,
yeah,
right? And,
yeah, exactly.
It's every, I don't know. Okay, would you want to do a drive-in? Are they showing it in drive-ins?
Yeah, they're showing it in drive-ins. I would probably for specific superhero movies that I'm really excited for.
Want the special effects.
I would want the special effects, but I'd also, if I couldn't go to the theater, I would pay the $20 to watch it at home day of release. Like, I'd have to watch it, and then I'd have to podcast with you about it. It's just something I'd have to do. Yeah, I would pay that money. I'd make a movie theater at home. Maybe invite a friend other than you. Right? Why not? When the time comes. The other one was the Suicide Squad. was another movie that they're coming. And it's
James. Movie or video game?
It's a movie. It's James Gunn, the guy who did Guardians of the Galaxy, is directing.
Oh, yeah. Eric, this is why I said let's do the podcast that day. I don't remember nothing.
Well, that's why.
Wasn't there like a shark guy?
Yeah, yeah. A King Shark was in it. It was quite an extensive cast of people in it. It seems like everybody's in that movie. I mean, even John Cena is in it.
That's already like a flag number one. There's too many people.
Yeah, it's.
The only movie I think I've ever watched where it was a full cast of people and it was actually.
Oh, let me guess.
Jesus
let me guess,
Christ. I thought something happened.
I put my hand up. But, can I guess which movie it is?
Don't scare me like that. We're on the road.
So I didn't scare you. I just said, oh, oh.
75 kilometers away before you have to merge. Right.
It was Ocean's 11. Is that the movie that you were okay with?
Yes.
Yes. I know you. I know you so well.
Well, thanks for taking away my thunder. Now I have nothing else to say.
I wanted to guess like a guessing game. I'm sorry. My apologies.
What I'm trying to say is those big budget films where everybody's in it, I find they typically don't seem to do well because they're putting in the money to have these people in it, not investing in the story or the plot or anything, right? So I'm that's already a flag for me, a red flag for me.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what it is they do with this version of Suicide Squad because it's not the same team other than Harley Quinn that's there, and you also have Viola Davis coming back as Amanda Waller,
as she should.
So I don't exactly know how it all fits into the story that previously occurred, because I didn't mind the cast of the last movie, but the story was left a lot to be desired.
It was garbage.
Yeah. So,
but they're still going with that music mantra. Oh, look, Eric, is there an en route coming up?
Yeah, go right here. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for it. I want it to be good. I don't want any of these movies to suck, but I think James.
No, I mean, I don't want it to suck because I don't want to waste my time nor my money.
And I want you to start coming with me again to watch these movies. I saw Shazam by myself. I saw Aquaman alone. Birds of Prey by myself. It's been a while since me and you have gone to a DC movie together.
I think you've gone with people.
Not those.
You just haven't gone with me.
Yeah, not with you. Not those. All those I had to see by myself. Afternoon, matinee, go watch the movie alone, because Dav refused vehemently to not watch another DC movie with me.
Yeah, because that's, like I said.
We're in Quebec.
Oh, it's official. Okay, here's the sign. There's the blue flag, blue and white. And it says, the signs are in French. I can't do that. Oh, but that has a Wi-Fi sign, so I know what that means. What was I going to say? I was in the middle of a thought. I feel like seeing a bad movie and paying for it, it's just rewarding bad behavior. It's just saying, go ahead, DC. F it up as much as you want, and I'm going to still be here. I think that's why things are so garbage, and they don't make an effort to correct and go back to the table and say...
I think that's what they're trying to do now, right? Is correct things. I don't know.
It's too late.
Yeah. Part of it kind of is. But I wonder if they can bring it back around. Will you want to watch the Snyder cut of the Justice League?
No, I don't like Snyder.
Yeah.
He's done too much to break my heart.
And it's funny to hear how everyone's getting really excited about this Snyder cut coming and how it's going to really show what the movie was going to be about. And I'm like, but... The movie before it was still stupid. Like, it's still going to be... How much different do you think it's going to be? You might see Superman in a black costume for a couple minutes. Like, woo! Like, so what?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. If they still have Henry Cavill with a CGI face to hide the mustache, it'll still be stupid.
It's ridiculous.
Right?
It's like they just did it to do it, not because they wanted to. Like, no effort. No respect to the fans. No
respect to you.
That's
and,
right.
And your love of these characters.
Damn right.
They didn't know how much you love Justice League.
And there's avid fans out there. Like, how would you... Why would you rush through a project and not give it the decency to actually say, you know what? And I think that's my gripe with movie... Superhero movies. Like, you have the script in front of you. You have so much resources. You have people have written the script for you. All you gotta do is put it on film. Like the book is right there.
I've been saying that. I know. I say it all the time, and I always wonder. It's like, and even sometimes the consultant's like, but you wrote the story. Like, you're the reason there's even talks of making a movie. How did the movie suck so bad when you were in the room? You created this story, and you didn't guide them to exit. Like, I don't know the dynamics in those boardrooms, but it's just like...
Yeah, shame. It's a shame.
Shame on you. Shall we take a break and get gas for the vehicle, and you can go for a bathroom break?
No.
No, okay. Then let's just get back on the road and run out of gas.
What kind of question? Okay. Of course it is. Well, how do I press the red one?
Yeah,
the
red button. I'm going to go in and say, let's do something just so I can make fun of you now.
I'm not trying to get in there now. I have these people lining up. So, update. The en route gas station has no freaking gas.
And then we stopped at a gas station that had go-karts. And it was like an omen that we needed to do go-karting on the way to Montreal. But Daphne is a Bottas. And she said Bottas is the Finnish driver for Formula One who's never happy unless he...
He's a stick in the mud.
He's a stick in the mud. And Daphne was a Bottas right now.
I own up to it. But no, these people had helmets and everything. They're really going to go go-karting. I'm not trying to go-kart nothing. I'm trying to get...
together. We could be like Verstappen and Hamilton facing off.
Can we concentrate on the road, please?
Fine. Where were we?
We were talking about the Suicide Squad prior to this.
So at the rest stop, did you get connect to Wi-Fi and watch the trailer? Remember it?
No, and that's what I should have done. Dang it. Okay, so we saw another trailer. We saw a video game trailer.
Yeah. That one looked good. The Gotham Knights and the Suicide Squad. You know, here's the thing. I probably didn't talk to you about this because we haven't talked about comic book stuff in a minute. But DC had like a really big letting go of all of their staff. They called it a bloodbath. Something bloodbath? Something like that. It was horrible, but they let go of...
It wasn't Dan DiDio, the guy?
That was earlier, in a couple months ago. But now they let go of like a bunch of other people. And it was... a really kind of sad day for DC Comics because it was like, are they even going to make comics after this? Because books got canceled and people lost their jobs and all. It was like a restructuring almost of the company. So
before you go on, can I just talk about briefly the value of these picture signs?
Tell me about them.
So going into the rest stop, because I've seen it all my life, I'm like, oh, that's cute. But then I'm like, oh, wait. I know what that says because there's a picture. Because I wouldn't know otherwise.
With the male and female bathroom?
So what I'm trying to say is I finally understood the purpose of the picture symbol versus... Not that I didn't already know, but you know how when you have those aha moments, like you've been doing this one thing the same way your whole life, and then all of a sudden you encounter it differently? I had that moment back there.
They had that when we were in school, like kindergarten, before we could read.
Obviously, but I'm saying under that sign was girls, boys, women, men, or whatever, right? Or... The stop sign is universal, but when I see Alet, I don't know what that means.
But you know the octagon.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. I've seen these signs. I know what they look like. I'm familiar with them. But in this moment was the first time I experienced like, oh, that is the purpose. That is the value of the picture. It's picture not just there to emphasize the word. It's there to also speak to you through the eyes.
Right. Through the eyes. You're such a dork.
I'm just saying, like, that's what I had a moment back there.
Yeah.
Okay, continue.
It was with all of this, like, kind of disappointing sad news coming out of DC Comics and all of the things they've been doing in 2020. Like,
what does Nord mean? Is that North?
North, yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying.
You've got the attention span of a fish.
Okay. Go ahead.
So I was just saying, like, all of the video game announcements and the movies that they have coming out, it was kind of nice to see some good news. And they had it was called the DC Fandome type of event, online event, announcing all of these. It was like a streaming event. I didn't watch it, but apparently there was a lot of good news in regards to like the multimedia aspect of DC Comics as an entity. Not that much comic book news though, but yeah, all of this stuff is kind of exciting to see that they're still in the process of making stuff, which is cool.
So the video game had all the birds, all the Robins. It had Batgirl. It had the Red Hood. It had Damian, and it had Dick.
Nightwing.
Yeah. So I'm like, what's this about?
Yeah. It looks like it picks up maybe from the Arkham series, like the video game universe of Batman, the Arkham Knights and Arkham City and all of that. It looks like it carries on from that series, maybe.
Do you like how real these video games look? Like, they look like a movie? Or do you miss the Super Mario bring? Going from the left screen to the right screen.
I'll always love the bring. I'll always like that. But I really love playing, you know, Amazing Spider-Man on the PS4. And I'm looking forward to the Avengers game that they have coming out, which is going to be a similar game style to the Amazing Spider-Man. I mean, it's a dream come true to be able to control these characters in a story mode, and you can swing through the city or fly through the city, whatever it might be. I love it.
But does it take away from the gaming aspect of it when it's that real, that tangible, that, you know? And now that the story, especially the content in which the stories are about, it's pretty heavy material. Like, the worst you had to do was go through a dinosaur dragon to get this chick from the other side of the bridge. Now we're like, it's a psychological this and that and the third. Like, I don't know. I never played Halo or anything. These people are in combat. Like, this is war. And this is what you want to go to do before you go to sleep at night? I don't know. I'm just saying, like, do you like gaming the way it is now, modern day? Or do you miss the simple themes of race, like just racing or just whatever?
I get what you mean. I think depending on the type of game that it is, right, or the type of characters they are, it's so much cooler to play Batman now and to really be able to feel like you're doing Batman things, where you're hiding and you're using all of your all the things in your utility belt. Like, that's so cool to be able to do that. So I definitely like gaming now better when it comes to that stuff, but when it comes to just that traditional solving a puzzle, or, you know, like a never-ending mind puzzle game like Tetris, I can still play Tetris in black and white on Game Boy. You know, I still love that as well. So there's a nostalgia factor, but I think the more control and smoothness of what you can, the possibilities of recreating, I guess, like,
it's not even recreating though, babe. It's you're actually you're feeling the vibrations of someone stabbing you.
Yeah. No,
you know what I mean? Or the impact of a punch or a kick to the face. Like, the controller lets you know you got gutted.
Yeah.
That's a little too real, no?
Sometimes it's so engaging. Like, the environment of it becomes so immersive, which is partly why people are addicted to them, and also why people are now even, it's a sport, right? Playing video games and these extended online universes that you can play against people across the world, it's become sport. It's beyond just leisure. So, I mean, it has its pluses and minuses of how real it can get. And I think something like a Ready Player One, that movie Ready Player One, it's very close to happening, where we're going to be so immersed in this virtual reality that it's going to be as good as real life.
There's always a movie version out there that's always saying that this world is going to hell, or there's nothing left in it to live for, and so an alternate life is a possibility. Like, even in one of my favorite movies, Inception, people would dream. Remember that scene, that part of the movie where they go on, like, to this potency guy? Yeah. And they go into, like, this basement, and then they're like, what do they do? He's like, they come here to be woken up. This is the only way they can live. It's like there's always that escape of reality that's always being presented.
Yeah. tapping into that. Well, I've heard of like DMT experiences where people take something and it's like a psychedelic drug, but it's a 10-minute quote-unquote trip that in their mind lasted 3 months. Like, imagine. That's crazy.
So what happens after the 10 minutes? You come to and you resume?
Yeah, you could, but and that's, I think, where the...
So does that mean it exits your body?
Well, it's no longer activating those brain waves or synapses or whatever the right word is, those connective things that...
So where does it go once it doesn't have that effect? That's what I'm saying. So you know how there's like...
I guess it just fades. It wears off.
Within 10 minutes?
Yeah. That's how long it lasts. I mean, you gotta, I guess, take it. It activates. Lasts.
Nothing like that does that. No, there's no way. You take a Tylenol and it.
Apparently these do. I wouldn't know. I haven't tried it, but apparently these. Like, but imagine.
So it's not systemic? I don't understand how that works.
No, I mean.
How something so potent that can affect your whole thinking and.
Reality.
All of a sudden, within 10 minutes, it's done?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are you talking to?
Well, no, it's people who...
Are these all the podcasts that you listen to?
Yeah, a lot of the podcasts I listen to. Yeah, definitely. It's where I get my information from. I don't watch the news. I don't read books. I don't go on the internet. I just listen to podcasts on the internet. So I guess it's internet. Yeah. Well, I mean, anyways. But going back to what you were saying, what you said about Inception made me think about that. That they go there and... to be woken up, but where they go in that lunchtime hour or whatever it might be is a reality to them. They are living something there, and there's our brain, the mind is an incredible thing, right? When you know that could happen to it. But again, these video games are kind of becoming that. And some scientists and theorists or whatever they might call themselves, it's crazy theory, but some of them really, really believe, and I think the mathematics lean towards, and I know this is going to piss you off, but the mathematics indicate there's higher likelihood that we are living a simulation than not living a simulation. That's what some people conclude.
So you're saying we're in the matrix?
Some people would say there's a higher likelihood we're in a matrix than not. Yes.
And the people that state this, have they lived outside the matrix to make this statement, to know this for certain?
Well, some people feel that when they take the red pill or the blue pill, some people feel that when they take the red or blue pill, that they do go onto the, they do see reality. The veil of reality is taken away.
So again, have they taken this red pill, blue pill?
Yeah, some people have. And that's where they have their DMT experiences, right? And they see for those 10, 15 minutes, whatever, how long the trip lasts for, they enter another state of reality where they see what's what in their mind.
Yeah. I don't know. This is beyond me.
Yeah, I told you you were going to get... You're going to... This is stupid. I don't talk about this. What were we talking about before? Suicide Squad. No.
Okay, so we're off the highway, and now there's... They got arrows instead of lights? I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, maybe I should pay... closer attention to my my driving now.
Okay, so
we're almost in the city. So should we put a pin in this one, and then this could be like one episode, and then we could continue with the rest of our trip?
This is your show. You do what you want.
No, this is our show. You're still listed on my hosts on the description of the show. You know,
I'm
that?
Like Pokeroo. I show up on those special occasions.
Yeah, you become like The Rock when he comes back to WWE. Like you show up for WrestleMania. You only show up for travel.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Anything you want to finish off with?
I'm going to try to get some Wi-Fi and watch this trailer and figure out how I actually feel about it, because I don't know.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk soon.
Red button, right?
Red button.